Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
This is Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. Do you want to live a more fulfilling life? Do you want to live your legacy and achieve your personal, professional, and financial goals? Well, coming up on Divya Parekh's Beyond Confidence, you will hear real stories of leaders, entrepreneurs, and achievers who have stepped into discomfort, shattered their status quo, and are living the life they want. You will learn how relationships are the key to achieving your aspirations and financial goals. Moving your career or business forward does not have to happen at the expense of your personal or family life, or vice versa. Learn more at www.divyaparekh.com, and you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. This is Beyond Confidence, and now here's your host, Divya Parekh.
Good evening, listeners. It's wonderful time of the week. It's evening time, and I love being here with you. So exciting, and I want to share with you that I thank you for your generosity for getting our books. So the books that I was talking about was Expert to Influencer and The Entrepreneur's Garden, and the other books that I've written, because the profits from the books are going to entrepreneurs impacted by COVID-19. So thank you. And if you have not got your copy yet, do get it. And one more thing that I do want to bring your attention to. We have been talking about it for past several weeks. It's about finding that 1 hour of your time in a month and helping others without any expectations, no strings attached. Think about it. If each and every one of us did that, and if only 100 million people did that in the US itself, it would be 100 million hours every month. And think about what could we achieve and what big of an impact we could make. So without further ado, I want to invite a special friend and a special guest, Charles Dormer.
Good evening. Hello, Divya. How are you?
Good. How are you? So folks, I want to share that... Having worked with Charles for past year, which was a very, very tough year, we started out on a wonderful journey. And I gotta share, Charles has this passion for energizing leaders. And of course, you know, we're going to talk about his journey today in his own words. So I wanna share with you, he is a leader, an energizing leader in his own right. So Charles, let's... start with your childhood. Where do you have any remarkable moments from your childhood that you remember to this day and that left an impact on you?
That's a good question. I you can tell from my accent, I was born in the UK, just west of London. And I guess some of the things I remember from my childhood being born not far from Stonehenge was kind of the history that was around and how looking at and thinking about past civilizations that have shaped us really was one of my interests when I was growing up. I was born in a small industrial town, and back then times were relatively tough. But compared to now, I think we certainly had a bit more certainty about our lives. I must admit I was thinking about this ahead of this discussion. I feel that a lot of what has happened in my life is preparing me for this moment, really, in terms of this level of uncertainty and this need for us all to energize and be innovative and be agile.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of led me to really think about, okay, how can we help other leaders energize mm-hmm. the people that they work with?
Right, right. So now that said, how did your transition go when you moved from UK to US?
Oh, that was a long time ago, Divya. It's 30 plus years ago, 1989. I've not been able to get rid of this accent, but I've been in the US for 30 plus years. The transition was quite dramatic, really. I was in a situation working for a company that was downsizing and closing a site. And I was given the opportunity to move to the US with that company, which was fairly daunting, but I'm still here. So it's proved to be quite successful, I think.
Absolutely. And Charles, you said it, that it can be daunting, and I think so. People from different walks of life, when they come together, that's what makes a bouquet. And we all love bouquets. And that's the key that, yes, it's interesting. When I used to coach across six continents, everybody had an accent for everyone else. So,
yes, good point. Yes.
So it's all good. You know, we are here. So as you arrived first in the US, share with us your journey, with the three-phase journey where you're passion took fire.
Oh, so I've had three passions in my life. I've been lucky through my career. The first was I worked in a hospital lab and was very interested in cellular pathology. And I still remember when I first looked down a microscope, seeing a whole different world was really very exciting. And the first part of my career was working, first of all, in a hospital setting, but then moving to a pharmaceutical company to really pursue that interest in how cells work together and how cells can be dysfunctional, such as cancer, et cetera. That was my first great passion. And I do actually remember thinking it is looking down a microscope at cells and looking down a microscope at different systems. It is a different world, and you can immerse yourself in that. But as I started to work in larger organizations, what started to fascinate me was actually how organizations work as systems. And I took a couple of master's degrees in organizational dynamics to really understand how organizations work. And organizations are human systems, right? They're designed by humans, so they do reflect the system approach. And I really got very interested in organizational redesign and business strategy, and that's what I spent a lot of my corporate career working.
So, can you talk about the relevance of system designs and leadership?
Yeah, so once I'd left the pharmaceutical industry, I'd been working for large corporations for 30 plus years, and was looking to set up a consulting company, and I'd spent a lot of my career doing business redesign and strategy, but I came to realize that actually the times I really enjoyed my career and when I could have a big impact, and I saw people that had big impacts, was actually through their leadership behavior, through the way in which they they worked within that system to lead people, define a vision and then lead people. So once I'd left the pharma industry, I realized that actually if I could help leaders become more effective, if I could help leaders become increase their performance, then actually it'd have an impact on all the people around them as well. I've been lucky in my career. I've worked for some great leaders, some energizing leaders, but I've worked with other leaders that weren't so energizing. And I can see the difference between the two. So I threw myself into, and what I do mainly now is coaching leaders to help them increase their performance, but also impact the people that are in their care, the people that are working with them. I think from a system perspective, leaders need to be thinking about how they are impacting their whole system. Not only the people who directly are working with them, but also the people that are working in their alliances, collaborations, and across the whole system of an organization. So that's how I think leadership should be framed in a system approach.
Mm-hmm. So Charles, you know, you talk about a systems approach. So let's say a new CEO of a startup company, how would they go about designing those systems?
Well, I think you start from recognizing the systems you're part of, right? So if you're a startup company a biotech startup company, for example, you're in a system of your own company, but you're also part of the healthcare system. You're also part of the investment community. And actually, you're part of the broader system that actually whatever product you're producing should be aimed at impacting the whole system. So thinking about your environment, thinking about patients, thinking about the healthcare system. A good example is what we're seeing with vaccines currently, right? Where it's an amazing achievement that vaccines have been developed in such a short time for COVID. And within that, the system also, the vaccine isn't going to work unless it actually gets into people's arms. So there's a distribution system, part of the system is also the syringes, the needles, the people that are applying the vaccine. So the whole system has to work if we're going to be very effective at getting a wonderful drug, wonderful vaccine, and actually have an impact of getting to herd immunity.
Very well put. So when you talk about the herd immunity and everything, you know, that's so much more important. You just can't talk about one system. It's almost as they say, you know, don't miss the forest for the trees. And I always say that don't miss the trees for the forest and don't miss the forest for the trees. It's important to have a bigger picture alongside of looking at things in details. So you often talk about energized leadership. Can you tell us in more details as to what does it mean for you?
Yeah, I like to, I as I mentioned before, I did a couple of degrees in organizational dynamics, and I'm very interested in how energy flows in organizations, both positive energy, but also negative energy, which can hold organizations back. When I think about leadership, I think one of the key roles of leadership or a way of framing leadership is actually thinking about, are you being intentional about creating energy in others? We've moved away from, you know, many years ago, we moved away from the kind of the genius model, the thought that one person is a genius and can, you know, again, my background is drugs. So you think about the geniuses, Fleming and others, who came up with a drug, but you realize that actually it takes a lot of people in the system to actually get to your end goal, which is to get the drugs to patients and to have the impact you want to have. So I think of leadership as one of the key roles of leadership is to create energy in others so that you can't achieve these things by yourself. You need other people to be energized around you. Mm-hmm. But energy is not enough, right? Energy is you can produce energy, but if it doesn't have an impact, if you don't have a clear vision or a clear way of managing to get to that end point, then you really are just getting a short-term burst of energy. What we're really looking for is leaders who are able to energize for the long term, not burn people out, but in a sustainable way. And what I think a lot about is what are the kinds of things leaders can do that can produce energy in people in a sustainable, long-term fashion.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. And what you've said is, you know, it's about looking at long-term gain rather than short-term cost. Because so many times what happens is because companies have to produce results every quarter, the focus is on short-term. What you're recommending is that looking at things long-term, and that's the key. And when you look at long-term, what are the challenges leaders face that make them fall behind?
Well, when I look at challenges, certainly now, one of the challenges is the complexity of the world. Right, the world doesn't stay still. In the last year, we've seen that more than ever before, that something can come along and even with your best plans. Leaders have needed to be very agile and innovative and keep moving forward, right, in a dynamic way. The complexity, the uncertainty, the ambiguity, the VUCA thing, we've experienced VUCA, volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. We've experienced that in a kind of extreme way in the last year. Leaders, whether they are leaders who are on the front line and have to take the risk of going to work every day, or like a lot of people who are working from home, have had to be very adaptable and agile to keep achieving what they want to achieve. I think it's a challenge for anybody that's leading a group of people to get that innovation and agility.
So we have talked about having that agility. And when we talk about having that agility, what brings to mind is that strategic thinking is so critical. How would you define strategic thinking in these circumstances of crisis, not only one, but several other crises? And what would you recommend for leadership in 2021?
Well, I think strategic thinking comes from the ability to not only look into the future and try and predict future, but also looking at the present, the current environment. And I think one of the key things is actually to be monitoring the external environment and gaining that understanding of where the world is going and where your strategy fits in with that. It's back to what I was saying about taking a system approach to strategic thinking. I always like to come from a perspective of you start by understanding your current environment, your current situation, define what you want to achieve, and then look at the gaps, whether it be gaps in technology, whether it be gaps in skills and competences, whether it's gaps in people. But it's thinking about that current situation, where are we trying to get to, what would success look like if we get there, and then how do we plan to fill the gaps between the current state and our desired future state.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Having that future state that is desirable and what is your current state. So that said, let's go back to your passions. And you mentioned that you shared with us your first passion. How did your rest of your journey, where you were working with your different passions, help you come up with energized leadership thought process?
Well, as I mentioned before, I had a great opportunity to work with some great leaders. And I'd been through, corporate life, you go through a lot of change, and I was leading a lot of change involved in a couple of very big mergers. We got to recognize that in business and in other parts of life, there is going to be pain. But I think from a leadership perspective, there doesn't have to be suffering. You actually handle the difficult things in a respectful, compassionate way and a transparent way and not lead to causing suffering coming from people being uncertain in the long term, feeling powerless, feeling their voice is not being heard. So I think that very back to your question, dude. I kind of avoided it a little bit. I didn't mean to, but it is around being very intentional about building energy, and I think that is a concept that resonates a lot with me, as there are times we all experience times when, we've got a great reason to get up in the morning and work as hard as we can. And it's that feeling of wanting to be involved and having that energy to be involved in something that's very meaningful and a real purpose that gets us through the day. When we're not feeling quite as energized for a lot of reasons, we should always go back to that core purpose, that core reason we're doing things, that why that we're doing things.
Absolutely. And when you talk about purpose, it makes so much sense, because so many days what happens is that you're just there and you don't want to get out of bed. And yet if you have that purpose and meaning driving your life, having those values, that charter, the ship of your life, what happens is that they become the springboard for you to jump off. And sometimes it's even leaping into faith. And that Absolutely. Focus and that why will become the focus. And as they say, where the focus goes, that's where energy flows or energy goes.
Yeah, I can tell you a story shaped. When I went into the pharmaceutical industry, the thing that drove me was basically, I always had this picture in my mind of a child in the middle of the night crying in pain, maybe an ear infection or something was disturbing the child. And I realized that one of the key ways of helping relieve that pain and suffering was actually through pharmaceuticals. So it was never a problem for me to be motivated working in that industry, because we were really trying to help people to get out of serious diseases. I had a friend who unfortunately suffered from cancer, from breast cancer, and she was a colleague who did everything she could to battle that disease. And it's not difficult to want to be energized by wanting to try to cure those diseases.
I can totally relate to it, coming from the similar background in being involved with several life-changing medications.
Right.
Just the joy, and sometimes what would happen is when we would have a very successful product launch, and when we were part of the meetings, it was not that we started out with kudos or anything like that. It would be those videos of case studies who relied on those medications and seeing their lives altered because of that. And yes, that sort of a purpose is so amazing to have in your life, where you know that you're serving others and you're making a difference. And you're not just
Yeah. And it brings focus, right? I used to be quite annoying at one part in my career because I used to only attend a meeting for 10 minutes.
And with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If I couldn't see the connection between that meeting and getting drugs to patients, I would get up and leave. I didn't make many friends in some areas, but I was there to help get drugs to patients and try and alleviate these diseases. And we still have, including COVID, we still have a lot of diseases which we need to keep working on and keep alleviating pain.
Absolutely, and that's the goal, right? All the scientists and people involved in different areas, the goal is to alleviate pain. And you beautifully said that just because there is pain does not mean there has to be suffering. So yes, pain is there, and these therapeutics and vaccines and different modalities can alleviate that suffering. So Charles, you do talk often about positive presence. So can you share with us, what is positive presence to you and how can it be incorporated to increase visibility and build leadership skills?
Yeah, so positive presence to me, it's actually a really interesting subject, right? With a lot of us being on camera a lot of the time. But positive presence to me is, again, coming back to how can your presence create energy in others? And when I say energy, forgive me if I don't keep saying positive energy. The assumption is it's positive energy. There's a lot of us can create negative energy, right? But
absolutely.
But it is creating that positive energy. And I believe that the way people behave and the way people or leaders have that presence can actually increase people's energy. So let's take an example. An easy example is actually inspirational leaders, right? Leaders are able to stand up with charisma and inspire others. That's one aspect of creating energy. Another aspect of creating energy, which I think is really, really important, is ensuring inclusion. Ensuring that everybody is included in the conversation and everybody has the opportunity for their voice to be heard. Now, I know from my experience, it's a no-brainer for me, right, the more diverse set of ideas and experience you can get around a table, the better your ideas are going to be. But that only works if you're including everyone. If there are in-groups and out-groups, all you're doing is creating negative energy in the out-group. So if nothing else, you take away from this, if nothing else, the simple thing you can do is to listen and make sure everybody is included and their voice is heard. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important and you'll get the benefit from that, right? Because your ideas will be more diverse and you'll think of things that you would never have thought of by yourself.
Oh, absolutely right. And as they say, you are as good as your team is good. And you brought up some really good point, you know, when you talk about diversity and inclusion, one of the things I want to bring up is cognitive diversity. And the reason I want to talk about cognitive diversity is that the difference in how different generations take a look at diversity. So for example, X generation and baby boomers might take a look at diversity being creating equal opportunities in spite of race, color, gender, or anything like that, or different people coming from different cultures, versus millennials and Z generation looking at diversity as just not the diversity of race, color, and different people from different areas, it's more about the inclusivity of thoughts about the experiences, people bringing their experiences from different areas. And when you talk about inclusion, that's so critical, because when you are being inclusive, you are going to learn so much more. You're going to have so many new innovative ideas and trailblazers so that you can combat the change. And
yeah, I find this subject quite difficult, because I can't see any advantage to not including people. Mm-hmm. So it from a leadership perspective, why wouldn't you listen to everybody? Why wouldn't you get everybody's views? Why wouldn't you get everybody having a different look, putting a different lens on an issue? I'll give you an example that isn't. I was lucky enough to, as part of a program I was on, I was lucky enough to visit India. And one of the things that we did when we were there, we actually went to the poorer parts of the country, to hospitals there. I mean, being a drug person at the time, I should say pharmaceutical, not drug person, a pharmaceutical, you know what I mean? Being a pharmaceutical, it was important to know how the patients were getting the drugs. It's a very different thing in a poor field hospital in India than it is in a, you know, mainline health hospital. Understanding that situation comes from people with different backgrounds and different views who can help us all understand the complexity of a problem much more effectively.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's about understanding where people are coming from, what is their background, how's the day been going, what's that life looking like? Because you may think that, oh, this person is not performing well. And I have to share one of the stories. So one of my clients had been having an issue with his employee. And what happened was, because the employee was performing poorly over a period of a few months, they put him on an improvement case. So now for performance review, he's on an improvement part. And as they're working, I was just sitting down having a conversation, Charles, like, you know, you and I have, and this gentleman said, oh, this person X, Y, and Z needs to go. And we just started having conversation, and he said, I've never sat down and asked that person what may be going on in their lives.
Right.
And what happens in corporate life, you're not supposed to pry in people's lives. And all the gentleman did was just invited the person into his office and said, is there something I can do to make your personal life easier? And the guy broke down and cried that my wife is going through cancer and I've got little young kids and just trying to figure it out all. And now I'm on performance improvement plan.
Right.
So it's been very stressful. And what my client did was that just listening to him, as you said, it's about listening. And it just changed the whole trajectory.
No, absolutely. Hey, you know, there aren't many advantages for the last year, but one of the things which we've all got very used to is, those of us who are lucky enough to be able to work from home, we've got used to looking at people on Zoom. And we get a little insight into the challenges they have. Often you're looking into people's lives that you've never looked at before, right?
Absolutely.
I always have the struggle of a small dog wanting to join some of my but I know for my family, etc., that, you know, the challenges of working when you've got a couple of small children or you know, who want to be on screen. We're seeing that we're getting an insight into the way people are working, which hopefully we're all going to learn from, right? We are working with whole people, not just part of them, right? People are a people are a system unto themselves. They have their challenges and they have their. It reminds me of a story. I used to run a portfolio management group and project management group, and so one of my employees, a young woman, was talking about the fact she had no project management skills, and I pointed out that, you know, you've got two children, you get them up to school, et cetera, you're a great project manager, right? You just are not, you've got those skills, you're just not applying them in a work setting. So we're getting to know people better. And I think one of the advantages, I say, of the last year is that hopefully, even with the constraints of being on a screen, we are still working to get to know people.
Mm-hmm. Great points there. And you said something very powerful here, that people are systems into themselves. And when we say that people are systems, so it's important to create that positive environment. So for example, let's say if somebody's kid wants to kind of come sit in their lap, so let it be. Bringing that empathy to the forefront, creating that positive environment, whether you're working with someone offline or online, and that really makes a huge difference. So doing that, can you share with us what may be the factors in creating a positive environment?
Well, we mentioned, I think one of the key things I mentioned already, right, which is creating an environment that's very inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And creating that environment where everybody can be heard. That absolutely is the case. There's also the opposite is true, right? In terms of, I talk about not only creating positive energy, but also minimizing negative energy. And creating an environment where you as a leader are not a source of negative energy. We've all worked for people that want too many monthly reports, right? Want to bug you about things, but just giving people room to get on with their jobs, to empower them to get on with their jobs, because most people want to succeed, right? So being very mindful of not being a barrier to people being able to get on with their jobs, I think is another thing about positive energy. Yeah, we talk about this concept of flow, right? In terms of people feeling in the zone. Give people the opportunity to be in the zone. Give people the opportunity to figure out how they can be successful,
mm-hmm.
and not try and prescribe it. Is another aspect of positive energy, a positive environment.
So now, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and absolutely, there's a lot we can do. If it's a virtual environment, when we talk about virtual Zoom and virtual the virtual situation we find ourselves in, I've been using virtual calls, etc., to get global teams together, because we can't always get to face to face. Technology is great for being able to bring people together from around the world to share ideas that, you know, 20, 30 years ago was unimaginable, right? You'd have to travel, excuse me. But now, you know, we have an opportunity to get on a call wherever we are, and to access that talent from around the world. So being really good at being virtual, I think is a skill that hopefully a lot of us are getting. And a lot of us are going to be able to use going forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in all of this, like behind every action we take lies decision-making. So how would you tie decision-making to an effective leadership? And what's the role of emotions in effective decision-making?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned leadership in itself is not the only thing, right? Very few people are actually paid just to be a leader. You do have to deliver something. And I think about actions as being combination of great decision-making or good decision-making, along with being able to negotiate conflict, because not everyone's going to agree, but also then leading change, moving from the state, current state to future state. So decision-making is a key part to that. And it's, we like to think that decisions are very analytical. And we do, right? We, a lot of us get a lot of data to support our decisions. But clearly, emotions also play a part, whether it be the actual mood you're in or the biases that you bring to the table. So understanding that those emotions and understanding those biases, along with the analytical part, go into making, in my opinion, good quality decisions. I read somewhere that whenever the England soccer team loses in the European Cup or the World Cup, the stock market on the next day goes down because of the mood of the nation.
Uh-huh. And definitely emotions have a huge part that plays in decision making. So definitely it's important to keep in mind about the emotions. So now that said, what can you tell us about biases?
Oh, biases there's an awful lot written on biases in decision making, but there's some obvious ones, right? Which is such as if you've already invested a lot of money, then you then come to a decision, do you invest more? You have sunk cost, right? So you have a bias to keep it going, even though it might not be the right decision. There's also pet projects, right? People have pet projects and will make a decision to continue those projects just because they like them. So there's a number of biases that come to the table when you think about decision making. They're not necessarily bad, but at least be aware of them, right? At least be aware that you are using a bias to make a decision.
So how can people bring awareness to their biases? Because so many times what happens is that people just continue taking actions and being unaware of what and how they are making the decisions.
So let's take the example of sunk cost. Mm-hmm. It might be that you understand that bias, that you know you've already put X amount of money into, for example, developing a product. It might be that bias, understanding that bias, you might say, well, maybe we could give this one more step. Maybe not as big an investment as we thought, but at least how can we de-risk that asset because we do have the knowledge from it. But that's making the decision based on, you know, analyzing your bias.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Charles, basically what you're saying is that, okay, let's take a look at, here's the bias. Let's take a look at risk management. What are the risks of going forward? What are the cons of just tabling the project or making amendments and modifying to continue it? So what you're saying is that take a step back, take a look at things rationally, and then decide.
And recognize the bias, recognize the emotion,
mm-hmm.
And recognize the data, right?
Absolutely. Recognizing the biases and emotions and data, because there's nothing like making data-driven decisions. When you let the data speak, at least you know that this is what was available and you're making informed decisions in that given moment of time rather than emotions or biases ruling that.
Yeah, there's another piece to this, Vivian, that what I call residual emotion, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've all been in the situation where we're running from one meeting to another, Mm-hmm. And maybe one meeting was pretty tough and you're walking into another meeting, you know, carrying that emotion from the last meeting into the next meeting. So you might be biasing your next decision-making meeting by the residual emotion you're bringing with it.
Mm-hmm.
What I do, I always build 10 minutes in between meetings. And the reason I do that is because it gives me a chance to get centered back, right? Park those emotions from the past interaction, the last interaction, and then start afresh in the next interaction.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a really great tool people can use, and especially even staying at home and just creating that type of meeting structures where you have got that 10 minutes of time, especially if you have got young ones, checking on them and seeing that, you know, they're logged in, they're good. That really helps to not have those residual emotions. So great tips today, Charles.
So just to kind of build on that, it also is when I'm coaching, before a coaching meeting, I will have at least 10 minutes where I'm not doing email, I'm not getting distracted. I am actually being mindful about centering myself. Because, you know, you read an email that just causes you a small amount of stress, then you know you're going to carry that into the coaching session. So I don't look at email. I don't look at anything 10 minutes ahead of any meeting.
Oh, great strategy and a great tactic. So Charles, we're nearing to the end of our show. If our listeners wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way to connect with you?
I have a website, which is going to be reborn next week. It's apex, apexstp.com. That will kind of give you some insight, hopefully, into the kinds of products that kinds of coaching I do and the kinds of leadership development programs I do.
Absolutely. And I know something exciting is going to happen next week. So do you want to share about your book a little bit?
Yeah, I was wondering whether I should do that. But yes, so next week I'm issuing a book called Energize to Impact. Which really is trying to capture some of these pieces around taking a holistic approach to leadership and how to be intentional about creating energy, but also being intentional about having an impact, having vision, passion, and system thinking. So I'm very excited. Next week, it will be available.
Yes, it's very exciting, and it's one of the really good books that I've had the pleasure to read as far as leadership is concerned. So definitely, folks, give it a
whirl.
Yes, give it a whirl. And it is, again, Energized to Impact, and you can check it out for yourself. So thank you, Charles, for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. This has been great fun.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing your insights. And thank you, wonderful listeners, for joining us. Really appreciate you. And last but not the least, thank you, Rebel, for making this show possible. And until next time, be well and take care.
Thanks.
Thank you for being part of Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. We hope you have learned more about how to start living the life you want. Each week on Beyond Confidence, you hear stories of real people who have experienced growth by overcoming their fears and building meaningful relationships. During Beyond Confidence, Divya Parekh shares what happened to her when she stepped out of her comfort zone to work directly with people across the globe. She not only coaches people how to form heart connections, but also transform relationships to mutually beneficial partnerships as they strive to live the life they want. If you are ready to live the life you want and leverage your strengths, learn more at www.divyaparekh.com. And you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. We look forward to you joining us next week, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.